Hey everybody, welcome to the Ground Effect Podcast, where we dive into the heart of Formula One, bringing you the latest news, insider analysis, and sharing our thoughts on the motorsport we love. So come and join us, G and Mick, as we look forward to what promises to be an exciting 2025 Formula One season. G'day Formula One fans. The Hungarian Grand Prix has wrapped up for another year and McLaren, they've brought up their 200th Grand Prix win with a great victory to Lando Norris over his teammate and title rival Oscar Piastri. Ferrari, well, they let a great opportunity slip by. And how much of a difference can 1 week make? Aston Martin, an absolute debacle in Spa last week, the Hungarian Grand Prix. They've brought home double points. Mick, what did you make of the weekend? It wasn't the most exciting race. There was a threat of possibly some mixed weather conditions that could have spiced it up. But overall, Piastri, are you happy with his P2?
First of all, I'm going to start off by saying, don't ask me for my predictions again, because they were miles off.
Well, same here. I mean, we were talking about Max being the guy that was going to split the McLarens, right?
Yeah, and he didn't do anything. Now, look, I kind of had a feeling with about 14 laps to go that Piastri was probably going to be a couple of laps short. You know, I think I sent you a text message. I don't think he's going to get the job done. Similar to Spa, right? I think Norris was just, I mean, his pace was phenomenal once he switched to those hards. I just think Oscar was just a couple of laps short of getting the job done. Race-wise, yeah, wasn't the most exciting. Probably didn't help that a lot of teams, obviously with the cooler track conditions, decided that a one-stop would be the way to go. Yeah, Ferrari, man, another one. Slips away. What happened to Red Bull?
Yeah, well, expected a lot more from Max, that's for sure. I mean, what did he get? P9 in the end? Yeah. But just didn't really factor for most of the weekend. But Aston Martin, I mean, you've got to give them credit. We did talk about it that we thought Spa was definitely an anomaly, that it was just, they just seemed way too much off the pace. Like something wasn't quite right there. I mean, there were rumors, I think I heard, probably just absolute bollocks, but someone suggested that they had bought the wrong package.
I heard that too. The wrong floor or something.
Yeah.
They brought the wrong floor to Spa.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, you're only a couple of hours away. How can you, like, even if you did bring the wrong one, like, there was 2 days of racing. Like,
yeah. So, bit of an odd one.
Yeah. I don't know how true that is. But yeah, man, what a difference a week makes. They brought a little aero tweak to the front wing and that package, the high downforce and the track layout seemed to suit them. Good effort.
Yeah, and maybe Fernando getting a little bit of work on his back in FP1. You know, just revitalizing.
Getting the old rub down.
Works the old wonders, eh? But when you're 44 years old.
It's amazing what a good rub down will do.
All right, well, let's get stuck into it. And again, you know, we're going to start with McLaren. They brought up their 200th win, a long, proud history, of course. It was an easy one too, but they didn't have it all their own way for the whole weekend. Couldn't nab the pole. So we had Piastri with P2 in qualifying and, of course, Norris with P3 in quali.
When it comes to qualifying, you know, I think the track temperature started to drop and the wind picked up, and that definitely seemed to affect them a lot more than the others. Apart from Charles, really, he was the only one that could manage to improve his lap time. The race, though, like I said, I think Piastri fell just a couple of laps short. I think he needed probably another two laps to get the job done. Norris, I mean, what can you say, man? It was like a stellar drive, right? Like, that's the drive he needed to get the job done. Was kind of forced into a one-stop at the start of the race because he had Alonso there that sort of corked the pack up, and it looked like it was going to be an easy stop for the top three. And then all of a sudden, he picked his pace back up and just kept that pit stop window just out of reach. Look, Piastri's still going to be happy. He's still walking away with the championship lead, but that's a big win for Norris, I reckon.
Well, when looking at the Drivers' Championship, it's a 9-point lead now for Piastri, isn't it? So Norris has just eked into a little bit. It was an important win for Norris this weekend going into the summer break. And if you swap the guys around and it was a 1 to Piastri and a 2 for Norris, I mean, it would have been, around a 23-point difference going into the summer break. So it was an important one. Yeah, you're right. I think a couple more laps, Piastri would have had a shot. I mean, he had a 15-lap offset on the hards. He probably could have been a little bit more patient when he made that lock up into turn one. Perhaps if he gave himself maybe just a one more lap.
You're right. He probably could have been a little bit more patient, but he was just losing out. Like you could see, he could hang with him through the first sector. As soon as it got to the middle sector, just a dirty air, man, and he dropped to like 7, nearly 8 tenths back. And he managed to claw a little bit back in the last sector, but generally going onto that main straight, man, he was like 6, 7 tenths.
Yeah, it was always going to be a tough ask. That DRS zone there, the only way it's really super effective is if you get a really good headwind. And then if you've got two sort of, I mean, look, they're the same car essentially, probably minor setup changes between them, but the top end speed of both are basically the same, right? So it was always going to be a real tough ask to rely on DRS to make that pass into turn one. Yeah. I mean, I think in hindsight, he probably would look at that desperate move and he probably would have been like, yeah, if I just gave myself one more lap. But again, you know, it's hindsight, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's the second time he's done it because he did the same thing in Austria, yeah. Remember? So he's got to be careful because one of those, he will end up tagging his team.
He will, yeah.
He's been pretty lucky the last two efforts.
Pretty damn close.
But I have to say, man, just the moment they switched onto the hards, that car came alive, man. That was so much quicker. Again, finished 20 seconds ahead of the field. You know, they've been doing that consistently throughout the year. So as much as we want to say that the teams behind them have started to close a gap, man, it's
comfortable. Comfortable out front.
Yeah.
And pretty much it's going to be that for the rest of the season.
Oh, it's probably only going to get worse. To be fair.
All right, well, Mercedes, bit of a mixed bag for them. George Russell, he's back to his old ways. Got the podium, P3. It was a good drive from him. Kimi Antonelli picking up the lone point in P10. Qualifying-wise, Russell, Q4 and quali. Antonelli had a bit of a, well, he was eliminated in Q2, wasn't he? P15 start. So not a bad recovery drive there for young Antonelli. But Russell just seems to, has this habit of not doing a whole lot in the race, but just managing to extract the most out of the car. Brings it home. Obviously a little battle there with Charles Leclerc and things got a little bit feisty, but at the end of the day, I think Toto will be pretty happy that both drivers are in the points.
Old suspension setup, old George Russell, right? So they made a decision in that week break between Spa and Hungary to revert back to the old spec suspension that they were running at the start of the year. And I mean, it certainly worked. The drop in track temperature certainly helped Russell in qualifying. And even he was a little bit surprised. And then again today with the cooler track temps, that definitely helped that car because we've seen running that old spec suspension setup, the hot and cold perform much better in the cooler conditions than they do in the hotter conditions. So George is just doing George things. For me, I thought Kimi looked a lot more comfortable this weekend than he has in the last, five races, let's say. Like you said, he got knocked out in Q2.
Probably a bad strategy though. They put him out really early, didn't they, in that run?
Yeah, but I think getting your lap time deleted also didn't help, right? So that's what ended up, mate, because I think he was 11th, got the lap time deleted and went back to 15th. Okay, and then obviously didn't have enough time to go out for another run. So overall, I think for him to finish, P10 as a weekend as a whole, I think he's got to be pretty happy with that because apart from that lap time deletion, man, he looked a lot more comfortable in that car.
He looked better too. Even in the media and everything, he looked like much more happier after what we saw in Belgium. We did mention that this weekend was quite a big one for him to gain a bit of confidence back and to at least go into the summer break a little bit happier.
Going back to that old suspension, he was a lot more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And that definitely made a difference for him this weekend.
Speaking of suspension, rear suspension and Ferrari, disappointing really. Good news, Vasseur has... Well, it's been announced that Fred Vasseur is going to continue as the team boss over there for the foreseeable future, which is good. So that's locked in. Now, we were interested for this week regarding the upgrade that they had bought because we wanted to see how it would run at a predominantly higher downforce, a lot more lower speed corners, etc. And, well, it was a contrast, wasn't it, between Leclerc and Hamilton when it comes to the qualifying. Leclerc, great pole position. Hamilton, he was disappointed, managed to only qualify in 12th place. Hamilton, though, it's a real ebb and flow season because I've never seen him bounce from being so motivated and happy to being rock bottom. It's actually quite a hard watch, in all honesty.
For me, being a massive Lewis fan, man, it's definitely rough. This weekend, he just wasn't comfortable with the rear of that car, man. He was struggling throughout all the practice sessions. Then in qualifying, you could just see the mid-corner snaps for whatever reason. He just couldn't get a handle on it. Yeah, qualifying has not been his forte, let's say, this year. He's definitely struggled in one-lap pace, especially compared to his teammate. But race pace, he's generally not too bad. But this weekend, man, was just, he struggled big time. And I think you can tell Charles is a lot more comfortable in that car. Like a lot more.
Although he's not a happy chappy.
No, well, he shouldn't be either, right? To be honest, they had the pace to beat McLaren today. The only thing, the big thing I noticed was when they switched to the hards, the pace switched. And McLaren, that car came alive, man, and they were so much quicker. Apparently, on lap 40, Charles had a chassis issue. George did an interview before. I think he went into the media pen and it was brought up to him. And he was saying he thinks it has to do more with a ride height issue.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he dropped off big time. And we know throughout the season, they both drivers have been told to lift and coast a fair bit throughout the race. Charles, man, qualifying, just does it again, right? One lap pace, man, the dude's a machine. And we kind of expected him to be in the frame for maybe a possible top three in qualifying.
Well, I did think Ferrari would be the dark horse because I was more speculating that the rear suspension upgrade would have had a bigger effect this weekend. But in saying that, I would have thought Lewis would have had a much better weekend as well because generally he goes good around Hungary. What has he got? Like 8 wins here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite a lot of poles as well. So, yeah, well,
For whatever reason, he just could not gel with that car this weekend. I mean,
I think the summer breaks come up at a good time for him, to be honest. I think he just needs to get away and just recharge. He's in a really tough position because he's had two pretty sub, like for his high standards, he's had probably two of the worst race weekends of his career. Like, I can't even think of Lewis Hamilton having back-to-back poor race weekends. He'd have the odd bad weekend, bounce back.
Yep.
And then you'd go a long time before he'd have something like that again. I mean, that's probably the first time that I can remember that he has missed out on getting into Q3 on back-to-back weekends.
For sure.
I can't think of another time.
No. But then you take Spa and then you look at his race pace and he was there with Charles pace-wise.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
And then this weekend, he showed glimpses, but he just couldn't consistently do it. For whatever reason, the rear of that car just wasn't working for him this weekend. Tried the one stop in the race, but so did everybody else. And he just started 12th, finished 12th.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. You know, we expect him to, maybe if he has a bad qualifying, then we've always seen Lewis do Lewis Hamilton things, right?
Yeah.
Just generally charge through the field.
Yeah. Bounces back on the race.
Geez, he needs to come back to the next race and put in a big one because that Italian media, mate. Whew. I mean, that's the thing that worries me the most is that he starts to, you know, self-perpetuate into a little bit of a death spiral because I've never seen him so down on himself. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, you don't become 7-time world champion for no reason. Still we rise.
Yeah. Nah, he'll bounce.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
But it might not just be this year. We might have to just accept the fact that he's struggling. And I mean, look, we keep comparing him to someone like Sainz, man. Even Sainz is still struggling. So it's not easy.
Let's not forget, he's 40 years old as well. And I'm not saying that like, oh, he's definitely past it. But the peak years are behind him. It's going to be a lot harder for him, particularly with, you know, a teammate like Leclerc. We know how fast Leclerc is, particularly on one lap pace. Super quick. So he is a tough teammate. A lot of expectations when you are a champion, you go over to Ferrari.
Yeah.
And it's not easy because we've seen a lot of past champions go to Ferrari, try and emulate Schumacher, and they haven't been able to do it. So I wouldn't be surprised if Hamilton isn't able to emulate Schumacher, but I'm not writing him off.
It's just, yeah, at the moment, it's just the difference between his good performances and his bad performances are massive.
Yeah.
Whereas before, we're so used to seeing him, if he has a bad weekend, you hardly even notice. You know what I mean?
Well, speaking of a good performance, and that is Aston Martin, because Spa last time out, we did say it was an anomaly. Whether those rumors were true that they bought the wrong floor, I mean, that kind of does make a lot of sense to me, really, based on their performance. But they were pretty handy in Hungary, and Alonso Q5, Stroll even a Q6, so two cars in Q3, and then double points in the race with a P5 for Alonso and a P7 for Stroll.
They brought the little front wing tweak that obviously helped, which apparently they brought in Spa, and it just didn't get the results, and they come here. Higher downforce circuit, higher downforce package, the circuit layout. Again, I always sort of thought the cooler track conditions suit Aston Martin a little bit more than the hotter conditions. Solid, man. And even Stroll. Stroll was a happy little boy. He was quite happy to do interviews, and which is not what we're used to seeing with Stroll.
Well, even like when you look at the qualifying, I mean, from pole position to P6, which Stroll was in, it was like 1/10. Yeah, super close, super tight. We saw Drugovich, didn't we, in FP1. And so he got a little bit of an opportunity there, which was good to see.
Yeah.
Good to see Drugovich in a car. I mean, double points and super important, like you keep mentioning about this midfield battle and having two cars picking up points consistently because they have jumped a few teams, I believe. There's the P6 now and the Constructors, so on 52 points. 18 points behind Williams for P5, sort of like the best of the rest. So, big points.
And we keep saying it. That's the difference it makes when you have two drivers that can finish inside the points, right? We saw glimpses when they first bought that upgrade package of them. Their one lap pace was good. They were generally 5th, 6th or 7th. Whatever it is, they need to bottle it and make sure they keep it for the rest of the year, whether they can or not. Looking at this, the high downforce circuits are gonna play more into their favor, I would say. Whereas when they go to places like Monza, they might struggle a little bit more. Yeah, it was a mighty bounce back to where we thought they should have been.
Yeah, definitely. Because we saw through some of the upgrades they bought quite a few weekends ago that they would look like they were gaining performance, doing really well. Spa comes along and they were just absolutely hopeless. So definitely a good bounce back. And Alonso and Stroll both went with the one stopper, starting on the mediums and then ending on the hards. And the one stopper worked pretty well for a few of the drivers out there, particularly in that midfield. And another good performance for Kick Sauber, which is, look, mate, they were impressing me. Hülkenberg, bit of a weekend to forget. Qualified 19th, so a Q1 elimination, but Bortoleto, Q3 appearance, qualified 7th. In the points, I think it was his career best finish too, with a P6. So, look, Bortoleto, man, he's starting to string those performances together, getting consistent, which is good to see, and starting to eliminate those mistakes that we saw at the start of the year, which is what we expected. Yeah, he's looking confident now. You can even see it in the interviews and everything. Like you sense that he feels he belongs now.
The confidence he would have taken from Spa, then to come here and back it up the following weekend, again, put that team on his back and carried him all weekend. Like he dominated Hülkenberg the whole weekend. He's just growing and growing in confidence. So what's that? Their 6-point scoring weekend in 6 races. Hulk, a weekend to forget. False start, 5-second penalty. I think the most exciting thing that happened to him, he had an incident with Yuki. But honestly, Bortoleto, driver of the day, did a great job to keep Stroll behind him too. Stroll was definitely in a quicker car.
And Racing Bulls, Lawson and Hadjar. Happy for Lawson, of course. Both cars with a Q3 appearance. So Lawson P9 and Hadjar qualifying 10th. Hadjar probably a little bit unlucky. He was at that point, he was definitely the quickest of the two throughout all the practice sessions. And he seemed to have the handle on Lawson, but his final run, he went a little bit wide, so he lost a little bit of time. Race-wise, Lawson P8, which is good to see, stringing together some of those top 10s. Hadjar just outside the points with P11 and probably lucky to still have his fingers on his hands.
Yeah, man, that would have hurt. Bad, man. Like, I know I've been hit by rocks riding a dirt bike, and that hurts. So doing that at 30 times the speed, yep. Like, you could see him pull his hand away, man. Like, would have hurt. Like you said, Lawson, man, just solid weekend. Set himself up in the points on Saturday with another strong qualifying. Again, it was so close. Even they thought they could qualify a little bit higher. Qualifying, Lawson did 2 runs. Hadjar only did the 1. And I think that hurt Hadjar, only doing the 1 run in Q3. Again, they went long, did the 1 stop. Lawson, clean race, man. Kept his pace consistent. Did well, man, to keep Max behind him as well. So
Actually, that was it was a pretty decent effort. It was a long time too, wasn't it? It was about 15 odd laps. Verstappen did have a slightly newer tire as well, just 8 laps newer hard. But I thought, Verstappen was going to get him, but he just managed to, I guess, park his car in the right spot.
Another weekend where one driver scores and one doesn't. You know, when we know they both definitely had the pace of finishing the points. We saw that by their qualifying pace. They made a little bit of a setup change to both cars, trying to get a little bit more low speed rotation, some more stability in the higher speed. That change seemed to have helped and got them both into Q3. But unfortunately, like I said, you look at what Aston Martin did. They jumped Kick purely because they had 2 drivers finishing the points. And that's what you got to do every weekend, especially in that midfield.
Well, a team that has been struggling all season to get 2 drivers in the points, and that is, of course, Red Bull. Now, Max Verstappen, we really thought he was going to factor a lot more here this weekend. It was a really, to be fair, it was a very disappointing weekend for Red Bull on the whole. I mean, Max, he qualified P8, finished the race in P9. Maybe lucky to not receive a penalty on that pass on Hamilton. Bit hard to see from the footage because I think the trees were blocking the way, but Tsunoda, I was pretty disappointed with because I really thought he was going to be able to build on top of at least the Q3 performance that we saw in Spa, and then to be eliminated Q1, wasn't it? And he ended up qualifying 16th. Unfortunate for him, obviously had the pit lane start, just didn't factor in the race at all. I mean, look, it is a tough track to pass on, but you got to think you're in a Red Bull, should be doing a little bit better. But in saying that, Max, well, he struggled too. So not sure if it was just a track-specific thing or whether the package they bought was just off. Maybe they didn't set up the cars right. What do you think on that?
Yeah, well, it's unusual because normally they'll roll out of the truck on a Friday and be pretty ordinary, and then they seem to like flip it, and Max just becomes a whole completely different machine on the Saturday. He was complaining all weekend that no grip, no balance, just felt like he was driving on ice all weekend. I mean, for Yuki, it's weird because when you compare pace-wise this weekend, he actually was not that far off from Max. I think it was only like 4 or 5 tenths, 4th to friggin' 17th in Q1, so it wasn't much. Just, yeah, couldn't get the job done. Max, well, I mean, what was that? It's his 200th Grand Prix start too, so probably not one he wants to celebrate. I don't know, man, they were just off, eh? Like off, and like you said, Yuki with the pit lane start, changing the engine, and then the brake cooling configuration.
They've done that quite a bit this season, though, Red Bull, with the second car, haven't they? Where they've just sort of almost like Hail Mary'd it, like for the race start. Because we saw that with Lawson. I think it happened at both races for Lawson, and I've seen it a couple of times, I think, with Yuki as well, where obviously something doesn't quite go right in qualifying, and then it's almost like, okay, well, we're in a really bad position, we're not getting performance out of the car, how about we just try this? They make the tweak, and then it just seems like in the race just sort of goes nowhere. But like you said, technically it was actually closer to Max than he's been all year. But at least that speculation is over regarding Max, that he's going to be at Red Bull next year. It's interesting though that it's just next year, despite the contract, because he has a contract until what, the end of 2027, I think it is. But it's very interesting, the talk is that I'm at Red Bull for 2026. We won't delve into it, but it definitely goes down the line of what your thinking was regarding Max sitting back for that first year of regulations. And then if he does choose to make the change, he knows, or gives himself a better opportunity to go to the team that looks the best.
Oh, yeah. Smart, right? That's smart. Just sit back, see what happens. Warner's out of the way now, so there's probably a little bit more calm and normality within the race team. I just think it's a smart move. There's not much else I can say. Like, he will control what happens in 2027. He'll go wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
Who knows? We might have another Hamilton Sainz where it's like, oh, P.S., I'm leaving Red Bull and I'm going to Mercedes. And then George goes, I saw it on the news, and then I got a text message from my friend. I didn't even know. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, but that's the power he wields, right?
Exactly. From Max's perspective, it makes a lot of sense. He can now see how Mekies operates and what Mekies wants to do regarding the future of Red Bull. Obviously, the Ford tie-up, be interesting to see what they can bring for next year. He just gets to sit back and be like, well, where's the progress being made with the new regulations?
Yeah.
Where's that best shot? And he's pretty much a given wherever he wants to go. I think most teams will open up the checkbook.
And so, I mean, it would give him he's better off doing it that way, right? Because you think about it, it's going to give you a clear picture. You're going to have a decent look at Aston Martin, because now the talks of Lawrence Stroll selling his stake now are heating up again.
Mm.
So what that means for that team, not much, I don't think. I think basically everything stays as it is. It's just Lawrence Stroll will sell his stake. So he gets a good look at Aston Martin, has another good look at Mercedes, looks at a team like Audi. Who knows, Cadillac might surprise a few people. What's Lewis going to do after the end of next season? Who knows? He might even turn around and go, nah, oh, this is shit. I'm out.
Had enough. These cars are terrible.
Yeah.
Well, never know. But speaking of terrible cars, and that is Williams at the moment, because, look.
Again.
I don't know what's gone wrong. But we know that one of the teams that really hasn't done much in regards to upgrades, and we're probably seeing the results of that. James Vowles, he's been pretty clear that it's all about 2026 right now. But God, I definitely was expecting a lot more from them. Albon qualifying plumb last, and Sainz P13, and just the race. I mean, they just didn't really feature in anything. P15 for Albon, P14 for Sainz. Didn't really see them at all in the race. Did they even get up to any mischief? Was there any contact with any other cars? I can't even remember, to be honest.
They had a quiet weekend. I think they both started on the softs too to try and get their way up. They were in trouble straight away, man, in qualifying. I think they threw three sets of new softs just to get out of Q1. They were in struggle street. Albon's come out and said this is a bit of a bogey track, even though they brought that aero package upgrade to Spa, and then we thought it might make a bit of a difference here. Clearly didn't. I think Albon and Sainz both reverted back to a setup that they had in free practice one just to try something. I think Albon's thing in qualifying, his outlap was too slow and didn't sort of account for the cooler conditions. So by the time he went into turn one, his tires were too cold. Sainz, man, yes. Again, similar to Hamilton, right? We see these glimpses of brilliance and, oh yeah, he's getting on top of it. And then we see these sort of weekends. What's that? That's his third consecutive Q2 exit. So three races in a row, he's been out in Q2. Yes, he finished ahead of Albon, but he should have because he did out qualify him. They're not going to bring any more upgrades. So the upgrade package that they bought, that's it. I don't think many teams are going to bring much more. You won't see much more from any of the teams. Just little bits and pieces here and there. I guess now you just, I don't know, because yeah, they're in big trouble. They're at risk of losing P5 and that constructors.
For a while there, they were the best of the rest, clearly. P5 was sort of like locked up, and yeah, now it's, all the teams are closing the gap on that. So yeah, they've got a little bit of work to do if they want to hold that P5, because I mean, at the moment, it's only an 18 point lead over Aston Martin. Look, 18 points in a constructors championship is.
And when you get two drivers finishing in the points, this is why we keep saying it, because it's the team that can consistently get two drivers in the points now are probably going to end up fifth.
Speaking of inconsistent, that's Haas. And, Behrman, I thought he was on for a P11 today. I mean, he qualified P11. Unfortunately, a DNF for him. Seemed to have suffered some sort of damage where it affected his aero balance, which is what was mentioned on the radio. And I'm assumed that's why he actually retired the car based on that. Ocon qualified 18th, finished 16th. Bit of a non-eventful race for Esteban over there. Just a disappointing weekend overall for Haas.
Ollie this weekend, he definitely outperformed his teammate. I mean, he only missed out on Q3 by 0.007, so not much. And he just looked a lot more comfortable than Ocon did. Ocon was sort of left scratching his head basically from free practice one. He's like, why are we so terrible? And we did say the lower to medium speed was sort of their Achilles heel. They did bring the upgrade package, hoping that that would fix it. It's hard to tell, again, when you've got two drivers that are so far apart to get a true read of where they're at. You know, if they were both super bad and both around that 15th, 16th bottom, you go, yeah, okay, the car didn't work. But if Ollie didn't get the damage, like you said, he probably would have finished P11, maybe P10. But I mean, that DRS train, he probably would have been stuck in P11.
And on to Alpine for Franco Colapinto. I mean, some people are speculating that was perhaps the last time out. He did one of the things that he needed to do, and that was he out-qualified Gasly, made a Q2 appearance, whereas Gasly was knocked out in Q1. So Gasly qualified 17th, Colapinto 14th. But when it came to the race, yes, he finished above Gasly. But I mean, look, it was a P18 and a P19, both down the back, pretty much last of the runners. They just didn't factor in anything. Didn't really see much of them or hear much from them. I don't know. Would you say that was a successful weekend out for Franco Colapinto?
Oh, man. The beginning of the weekend, he actually, the higher downforce configuration, he looked a lot more comfortable in that car. And I thought, you know, he wasn't too
far. Could be on, eh?
Yeah, he wasn't too far off Gasly. I thought, oh, okay. You know, he's looking all right here. And got into Q2 and I was like, yes, something, you know. And then the start of the race, he just lost a shit ton of positions and that was it. A team that's brought no upgrades in Spain and they're not planning to bring any more. So the car is what it is. And I think Gasly, even in one of his press conferences, he was a little bit frustrated, but he was more like, well, if it means I'm going to have a competitive car in 2026, I'll take it.
Take the pain now, right?
Yeah, I'll take the pain now. And I mean, he looked pretty well off the pace all weekend, really, didn't he? He got out qualified by Colapinto, and then the race just couldn't do anything. They don't have the car. They don't have the car to be competitive.
I mean, they split the strategy. Colapinto went with a two-stopper, started off in the mediums, and then ran two sets of hards on the way home, and Gasly started on the hards and then ran the medium. Maybe an odd strategy choice in the end there, but look, they were just didn't factor at all, did they?
Well, if it wasn't for Behrman retiring, they would have finished last.
Be interesting to see what happens with them over the summer break, whether the speculation is true regarding Colapinto or where we see a driver change. You seem to think there will be a driver change. I'm thinking the same thing too, but then I'm also like, who could that be?
Now you've got nothing to lose, right? You may as well.
Yeah, I mean,
You may as well now. If you know, Briatore came out and said, you know, we want to try and find the best drivers. So we've got the best drivers in the car for 2026, sorry. And they actually do believe that they're going to be a lot more competitive with that Mercedes engine in the back of that car. They believe that their chassis isn't that terrible. And they really do think that they are going to be quite competitive. You're at that point now. You may as well now. You may as well sell your seat to the highest bidder and see who's the best match. May as well make some money while you do it.
Why not? Well, there you have it. Summer break is now in full effect. And what is it? 3 weekends before we see the next Grand Prix, which I believe is at Zandvoort. So that'll be a big one for Max. Obviously, home crowd, and he'll be looking for a much better performance. I mean, look, when you're looking at that driver championship now, I mean, even Max Verstappen, that P3 is definitely under threat with George Russell sniffing down his neck. So it'll be interesting also from Mercedes' point of view, whether we see that consistency back in that car since I've ditched the direction they were going. And they've gone back to the old, what was it, suspension, right? So it'll be interesting to see how they fare. If you look at the first half of the season, take a driver who's been, in your eyes, driver that's outperformed the machinery that they're in, or, you know, got the most out of it, extracted the most, and who's been the most disappointing so far?
Oh, tough one, man. Again, you just have to say Verstappen is the one that's outperforming the car. He's clearly 2 or 3 tenths faster than that car. He's the difference. Today is one of the only days that we've seen he couldn't make a difference. I hate to say it, my biggest letdown. I don't want to say it, but it has to be Hamilton, right? As much as I don't want to say it, and he's just having a hard time at the moment. So, and it's probably hard because, you know, you are going to a team like Ferrari and you're coming there as a 7-time world champion, massive expectations, and you just haven't delivered.
It's been a funny old season for Lewis though, hasn't it?
Yeah. All the teams as a whole, man, take McLaren out of there. Bro, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
One weekend teams are good. The field has closed up that much that we're seeing such inconsistent results bar the front two.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's definitely one of the tightest spreads, that's for sure. When you look at qualifying from P1 to, you know, to dead set last, it's not huge gaps like we have seen in the past. And you're right, you know, like that midfield battle, you're just 1/10 off. You can qualify from like, you know, a Q3 to being way back, you know. So
it's just a shame though, because it's like we get to these points at the end of all the regulations and it takes like 3 or 4 years for the field to get that close. And then we change the regulations and then we start again. It's going to take another, it's clearly going to be one team that's just going to dominate. And then everyone's going to catch up. Then we get to the end of the regulations and it's like, holy shit, man, this field's so tight. Then we change the regulations.
Yeah. But just, going back to that point of the driver performing well and, you know, a driver that hasn't, or, you know, in your eyes hasn't performed, I'm basically the same, really. I think Max Verstappen has sort of extracted the most he can out of that Red Bull. It's just hard to write him off any weekend. You know, you always think he's going to figure somehow. I agree. I mean, for Lewis Hamilton, it's tough to say it. I was expecting a bit more. I can remember going back to when we first did the season preview and about the big move of Lewis. We knew it was going to be a big challenge for him, but I was always thinking to myself that maybe 6 to 8 races and he'll be on top of it. He'll be up to pace with, say, Charles, or at least, you know, close consistently. It has been pretty hard to watch the inconsistent performance. And it's been a funny season because we saw, you know, the sprint win in China. And that was what, round two. So there was already that sort of like, yes, you know, like we're going to see something here from Lewis. You know, he's going to factor. You don't become a 7-time world champion without having some mental toughness about you and all that type of stuff. But it is hard seeing him where he is right now. But I still think he's going to bounce back.
Yeah.
But I am worried. There's a little part of me that is worried now because maybe he has lost the edge. You know, like if you look at, say, someone like Daniel Ricciardo, right? I know it's a little bit different, but went to another team. Okay, get it. Didn't quite get the handle of the car. Then went to another team. Didn't, but it was almost like started to lose confidence in his ability. If you look at all sports people, any sport, right? There's certain, everyone's a little bit different. They hit certain ages and then, you know, they're not quite the same. You know, their peak may start a bit earlier, it may start a bit longer, but at some point, there's the other side.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest, man. He hasn't been the same since 2021.
After 2021, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people put that down to, obviously, okay, maybe mentally, it was a big kick in the nuts. But the ground effect, right?
Yeah.
You could say, potentially, his driving style just doesn't suit the ground effect car.
But
so
that's why
I think a lot of people are pretty excited for next year.
Yeah, that's why they changed the regulations, right? Essentially, that's what brought these new regulations in, was to stop the Mercedes dominance. And that's generally what happens, is they'll make a rule change to sort of bring the field back closer to whoever the dominant team is. Hamilton's driving style, the way he brakes and the way he uses the car, doesn't suit these ground effect cars. And now they've taken the ground effect away. Who knows, we might see him come back. 2021 took a lot out of him,
yeah,
I think. And it just hasn't been the same Lewis Hamilton since then, I don't think. He'll bounce back. He will. Still we rise.
Hopefully.
Hashtag LH44, baby. Nah, he'll come good. He'll come good. Next year, I think he's got to be looking towards next year. I think you've got to ride off this year. The only thing you can do now is make sure you've got the systems in place. You've got the right people in place. You've got that garage around you. Ferrari, man, when I look at them, it's like those two drivers are coaching the team on like race strategy, how things need to operate. And they're doing it while they're driving the race car.
It's been like that for a long time, though, with Ferrari.
Yeah.
It always feels like it's back to front. And then you got to think to yourself, for sure, Fred needs to get on top of it and get that team functioning a lot better. But maybe it's just the way that Ferrari do it.
Resigning Fred was a really smart move, because you can't give the dude one season and then this year and then go, oh, it's not working, we need to change, right before regulation change. He's got a proven track record. Things don't happen overnight. It takes time to get people into the right places, the right procedures and the right structures and all those sorts of things. Having Lewis there is definitely a massive plus outside the car. He's probably having a bigger impact outside the car than he is in the car at the moment. I think Lewis has just got to get himself and the team ready to have a real crack at 2026.
Well, let's see. Let's hope he can bounce back in the next, I'm going to say the next half of the season, but technically it's not the next half of the season, after the summer break. But yeah, it's going to be a big one, and it's going to be a big one for a lot of drivers. Will we see Franco Colapinto on the grid? Yuki, look, we think he's safe now with the Mecki's appointment, but he still needs to put it in a massive shift. Anyone else that you would say is under a little bit of pressure to sort of keep their seat, say, by the end of the season?
A lot of teams will just be working on trying to be a lot more consistent, making sure they're ahead of the rest in the midfield. Yeah, I think Colapinto will be gone. I think we might get an announcement next couple of weeks. What is it? We've got 3 weeks until Zandvoort now. So I would probably say maybe not next week, maybe the week after. I could be completely wrong. And I hope I am. I hope he gets the rest of the season. You can't give him till the rest of the season and decide he's not the one. Yeah. If you're looking for drivers, give Paul Aron, give one of the young kids a go. Use that opportunity now to do what you said you were going to do, and that was find the best driver for that second seat.
3 weeks, plenty of rumors that we're going to hear, no doubt about it. It's been an interesting first half of the season. Been a pretty good one. Plenty of our stories still to be written, of course. Any last thoughts? Last things you want to say?
The rumor mill will continue. We'll be there to bring them to you, no doubt, and give you a share our thoughts on what we think. But like you said, man, it's been a pretty decent first half of the season. Been a lot closer than we've had in recent years. Good to see. As a Piastri fan, an Australian, mate, can't complain. We're still leading the championship going into the summer break. Yep. Go to the beach, do some surfing, a couple of pina coladas, come back and whoop Norris's ass. All good, mate. I don't think it's going to be quite that easy, but, you know, here's to hoping. And until then, make sure you like and subscribe, and we'll catch you in the next one.